One of my friends told me about a friend of his who was visiting Norway as a tourist and decided that it would be fun to go downhill skiing while she was there. So she was having a lovely time downhill skiing until she took a rather spectacular and very embarrassing fall. She didn't hurt herself. She just managed to fall in the least graceful way possible, sort of curse splat. And then, of course, you know, she's wearing skis and it's a little difficult to get up. So here she is having, splatted all over the mountainside, and she's struggling to get up. And this very dignified older gentleman whom she had seen skiing behind her, accompanied by a very buff-looking young man, skied on up and asked her, very concerned, "Are you okay? Are you okay? Can I help you?" And she was not hurt, but she was very embarrassed, and she really didn't want to look this dignified man in the face, and she just kind of waved him away, barely spoke to him, just, "No, I'm fine. It's fine. I'm okay." You know, and so he, having ascertained that she was not seriously injured, went ahead and skied off. And the very strong-looking young gentleman skied up to her and said, "Do you know who that was?" "No idea." "That was the King of Norway." Just think about what that woman, that tourist, missed out on. She could have had a lovely conversation with the King of Norway. You know, exchanged names, gotten to know him a little bit, you know? And what did she actually gain? What did she actually gain by just shooing him away? I mean, it's not like she saved her dignity. The king had already seen her fall. Have you ever seen a cat after it leaps for the windowsill but just misses?
Yeah.
You know what it's going to do, right? "Absolutely, I meant to do that. That was just a fancy new move in my bathing routine." My friends, we are often cats. We want to present our best face to the world. We're embarrassed when we fail. We're embarrassed when we leap and fall short. We miss the mark. We sin. We're afraid of being vulnerable, of having other people see our weaknesses and our failings. And when we experience shame because something we have done was not just a, embarrassing fall, but something that we know to be wrong, that's the worst feeling of all. That's when you want to hide under something and nobody looks at you. In tonight's gospel reading, when Jesus takes off his outer robe and picks up a towel and goes around the table washing his disciples' feet, I'll admit that when I think about this scene, I'm with Peter. This is just way too awkward and embarrassing. I found myself, as I was reflecting on this story, imagining if one of my teachers, a grad school professor, maybe, would offer to wash my feet. How I'd feel about that. I mean, Jesus is their Lord and teacher, right? Just think about how that would feel. Nope, not happening. I'm embarrassed about my feet. I don't want anyone looking at them, and especially not somebody I mean to impress. You know, Jesus knows all about the disciples' feet. He knows who his disciples are. He knows them inside out. He knows their strengths, and he knows their weaknesses. He knows all about their smelliness and their dirt. He knows that Judas will betray him. He knows that Peter will deny even knowing him, even though he also knows that Peter loves him deeply. And knowing all of this, he looks at his disciples not with disgust, not with, what a bunch of screw-ups you are, but with love. And he kneels down to wash those dirty feet. And I guarantee you, they were dirty feet. These were men who'd walked around in sandals on dirty roads. And he offers these people that he knows will betray him, these people that he knows will deny him, he offers them forgiveness. He offers them his love. Now, John doesn't tell us this story, but the other Gospels do, that not only does Jesus go around the table washing each one's feet, even Judas's feet, but that he also offers each one of them the bread and the cup, his own body, his own blood. He offers it to Peter, and he offers it to Judas, this blood that is poured out for forgiveness. They have only to accept it. And he commands them to love each other the same way that he loves them, with humility, letting go of pride in order to serve, with vulnerability, letting go of shame and embarrassment in order to give and accept love. Because the command is not just love your neighbor, it's love each other. Love one another. It is a mutual love. It is a giving and a receiving. It's letting ourselves be loved too, by God and by the others around us. And if his disciples are commanded to love as Jesus loves, what does that love look like? It is love without judgment. It is love that offers forgiveness and understanding. Jesus offers us the same kind of love that he showed to his disciples the night before he died for us. He knows us inside out, in all our beauty and in all our dirt. He's seen us leap and miss. He's seen us go tumbling down the mountainside in a whole embarrassing mess. We're not fooling him with our little cat tricks. He knows who we are. He knows what we've done. And he loves us just as we are. We don't have to be anything else or do anything else. He loves us as we are. And he offers us his forgiveness, his mercy, his healing. There is nothing that we can do or that we have done that Jesus cannot forgive. So my friends, let Jesus wash your dirty feet tonight. Let him make you clean. And let Jesus teach you what his love looks like. As he sees you in your embarrassment, in your shame, gazes at you and says, I know you and I love you. And then let Jesus show you how to wash other people's feet too. I want to close with a poem by Edwina Gately. Be silent, be still, alone, empty, before your God. Say nothing, ask nothing. Be silent, be still. Let your God look upon you. That is all. God knows. God understands. God loves you with an enormous love and only wants to look upon you with that love. Quiet, still, be. Let your God love you.